It's time for our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court.
The government has recently reduced biogenic methane emission targets to 14 to 24% by 2050, changing the reductions passed in 2019 under the Zero Carbon Act of cuts between 24 to 47% below 2017 levels by 2050. These changes have faced criticisms from the opposition and climate activists and scientists. Green Party co-leader Chloe Swarbrick says this methane denial betrays farmers who are on the front line of climate-driven extreme weather events that threaten global food production and rural livelihoods. For our weekly catch-up with the ACT Party's Simon Court, I spoke to Court about the target changes. We also discussed this week's multi-sector strike action, which will be attended by workers from various sectors, such as the medical and education sector. Public Service Minister Judith Collins, regarding teachers striking, called the strike action unfair and unwarranted, and said that the union, the New Zealand Post-Primary Teachers Association, or PPTA's primary agenda, was to discuss Palestine with Education Minister Erica Stanford. However, PPTA President Chris Abercrombie disputed this, saying Palestine was one of several topics the union had wanted to discuss with the minister, including AI in education and changes to NCEA. We discussed this, but first, we discussed the government's changes to methane targets. Why are we seeing these changes to methane targets, and how does the party feel about these new targets?
Well, Labor's unscientific climate targets are only ever achievable by shutting down farms and reducing production. And ACT has always stood with farmers with common sense when it comes to emissions reduction and climate change policy. So what we've done with our coalition partners, we commissioned a report as to what should the methane reduction target be so we can actually achieve our goal of 1.5 degrees limit to global warming. And the answer that came back was somewhere in the range of 14 to 24% reduction in on-farm emissions by 2050. So that's about half or less of what James Shaw and the previous Labor government signed us up to. And so we've said, well, look, let's change the target so we don't put farmers out of business. We don't drive emissions offshore because, of course, if New Zealand farmers aren't growing food and feeding it to other people, selling it to other people, some other farmers will, and we can be pretty sure that they won't be as efficient as we are. And let's make sure that we've got a target that's achievable. So that's what we've done.
These new targets go against the recommendations of the Climate Change Commission, who say that instead of aiming to go essentially carbon neutral, the country should be aiming to be carbon negative. In fact, the government has also pushed back on their legal requirement to respond to the Climate Change Commission's advice on future emission budgets by 2 years. Why is this? Why go against these recommendations? And why push back the government's legal requirement to respond to the commission's advice?
Well, the Climate Commission is an independent commission. They can come up with their own thoughts and musings about climate policy. But the government also has Ministry for Environment, which is our leading climate policy agency and which supports the Climate Minister Simon Watts and other parts of government when it comes to looking at how we manage emissions and how we adapt to climate change. So I think some of the work that the Climate Commission does is helpful, and not all of it is helpful and not all of it is practical. I mean, why would New Zealand choose to become climate negative and impoverish ourselves, put farmers out of business, when that's not a target that any other country in the world has adopted? That would really be smacking ourselves in the face. So no, we won't be taking that advice.
We'll touch on the business side of this move a little bit later, but firstly, I want to touch on a point you made a little bit earlier. A lot of people, unlike what the government says are science-based targets, would say otherwise. Science, at the independent Crown entity whose statutory obligation is to advise the government, say the carbon neutral target is not in line with the Paris Agreement goal of keeping global warming at 1.5 degrees Celsius. How are these targets science-based?
Well, I understand that different scientists have different opinions as to what policy settings will achieve this outcome. But in the end, New Zealand has to set policies around climate targets that actually allow us to stay in business, to keep people employed, to keep feeding New Zealanders. You know, we are also concerned about the cost of food and how that impacts on people's cost of living. And all of these things need to be taken in balance. Now, no doubt there will be some scientists who think that we could be doing more, but in the end, the government has to pick a pragmatic and common sense approach. And, you know, the advice that we've had is that we can achieve our net zero 2050 target across the economy, a balance of CO2 emissions reductions, methane emissions reductions with the targets we've set.
The New Zealand-European Union Free Trade Agreement includes a commitment that we refrain from any action or omission that materially defeats the objective and purpose of the Paris Agreement. This is a similar question I've mentioned in a previous interview, but are you concerned a move like this could impact our relationship with trading partners and New Zealand's sort of clean green image?
Look, I think what's important is that New Zealand focuses on targets that we can realistically and practically meet. We know that we have, in the EU, large customers for New Zealand-produced food, like dairy products. They will be interested in making sure that the farms and farmers and companies that supply them have a credible pathway to meeting their emissions reduction targets. Now, for New Zealand Inc. as a whole, our targets are set based on what we need to achieve as a country. This will really, in the end, be up to farmers and their customers to work out whether they're doing enough.
Despite lower targets, the farming industry will still need to reduce its methane emissions over the next 25 years. How will the government ensure the agricultural sector and the farming sector meet these targets?
Well, there's a number of different ways to do it, and of course there are technologies coming on stream which allow cows, for example, to be inoculated to reduce their methane emissions from their natural gut processes. But the other thing that we might choose to do is to invest in different grasses that cause lower methane outputs from cattle. There's a number of things we can do. But where we're at right now is that we're quite close to achieving the 14% lower band. If we get there in the next 5 to 10 years, then we can review it to see how much more work we need to do to get to the upper band, the upper part of the band, the 24% reduction. And there may be some more things we need to do. But let's not forget, we have been experiencing a cost of living crisis, partly pushed by the cost of food, the cost of transporting food, and the last thing we want to do is impose a whole lot of costs on New Zealanders, through the farming system, that actually do nothing to help global warming in the great scheme of things, and just make New Zealanders poorer. This government won't be doing that. We won't be taxing farmers for their on-farm emissions, and we are confident that the target we have set is achievable in the long term.
On to our next topic, a multi-sector mega strike is planned for Thursday, with an estimated 100,000 expected to join in on strike action. On the TVNZ's Q&A program, incoming Council of Trade Unions President Sandra Gray says Public Service Minister Judith Collins is trying to drive a wedge between New Zealanders regarding how the country is viewing these strikes, adding that the government is yet to show it has been genuinely prepared to come to the table. What is your view on this?
Well, I'm not surprised that the incoming future leader of the CTU would say that, but she's wrong. This industrial action is unfair to New Zealanders. It's unwarranted, given where doctors and teachers are up to in terms of their pay negotiations. It's estimated that more than 6,000 New Zealanders will have had medical appointments and procedures postponed due to the strike this week. There are people who are living in pain, in fear of what a possible diagnosis that they need will be delayed, which means their treatment will be delayed. That's why this government says this industrial action is unfair. It's unwarranted. And you look at what Health Minister Simeon Brown has done. He's written to the Chair of Health New Zealand and the Association of Salaried Medical Specialists, the Doctors Union, asking them to agree to attend binding arbitration over their pay deal. And for the union, please don't proceed with the strike action. Health New Zealand agreed, the unions refused. So when the incoming leader of the CTU says the government's trying to drive a wedge between New Zealanders, I'll tell you what, if you're missing out on seeing a specialist, on getting a diagnosis this week, you can't blame the government. We're doing everything we can to encourage the doctors and to insist on the health agency meet them and actually come to a deal.
With how visible these strikes have been, and if they continue at the rate they have been, are you concerned that younger New Zealanders currently studying and wanting to enter sectors that will be striking on Thursday, such as the education healthcare sector, will instead move overseas and work overseas for what they believe are better pay and working conditions?
Well, that's ludicrous. I mean, the latest pay offer to primary teachers means 66% of them will be paid a base salary of 100 grand within a year of this deal going through. That's increasing from 40% currently up to 66% of primary teachers getting $100,000 a year. I mean, the average wage in New Zealand is only $75,000 a year. So, you know, and then we look at senior doctors. I mean, the latest offer would have provided a salary increase of at least 5% over 2 years, with the ability for additional increases for first-year specialists. And this is in addition to a $5,900 annual step increase that senior doctors receive until they reach the top of the 15-step pay scale. So, you know, it's 5% on top of nearly $6,000 a year they get as of right in the 15-step pay scale. And we're just talking about people who do study hard, do work hard, you know, often put in long hours if you're a doctor or a nurse, but are well compensated for it. And just for context, you know, thinking about people studying now where they might work, well, the private sector wage growth over the last year was 2.3% across the economy. Public sector wages grew 2.8% in the same year, nearly 0.5% more. Now, you might not think 0.5% more comes to much, but the New Zealand government's budget, you know, runs to $160 billion a year. And every time we say we're going to agree to increase public sector wages by more than the rate of inflation and more than what the private sector can pay, we're just sucking money out of the economy, and we can't afford that right now. So look, I think teachers, doctors and nurses, of course, you know, some will say they can always be paid better, but compared to the private sector and compared to where they were a few years ago, the offer that's been put on the table seems pretty generous.
And additionally, are you concerned that if deals are not made between these multiple unions that are striking and the government regarding pay and working conditions, we could see similar strikes in the future, even strikes with a similar attendance expectancy of 100,000 plus?
Well, if 100,000 teachers, doctors and nurses are not at work this week, you can only imagine how many hundreds of thousands of New Zealanders are not getting taught, are not getting medical care, and not getting the diagnosis that they need to move on to the next stage of, say, cancer treatment. So, look, I mean, we might see more of these strikes, but in the end, these unions are going to have to settle with the government. They're also going to have to settle with Kiwis, whose lives they're disrupting. So, you know, if they think that striking is going to somehow improve the outcome, I think they're wrong, and I think that most New Zealanders this week will be looking upon this pretty horrified by the impacts that these strikes are having on people's lives, and really, really puzzled as to why the unions are doing this. I know Minister Judith Collins has said that they do seem to be politically motivated rather than motivated by a desire even to improve pay and conditions, which, you know, when the teachers turned up to visit Minister Erica Stanford a month ago, top of the agenda was Palestine. I mean, these people aren't serious if they're telling you that their most important issue is Palestine, when actually getting in front of kids, making sure that they're learning the basics and making sure that operations and diagnoses are delivered, that's what most Kiwis would have thought these people should be focused on.
That was the ACT Party's Simon Court on changes to methane targets and the multi-sector strikes happening on Thursday this week.
That was Simon Court from the ACT Party.